You're listening to the Nuff Said podcast, real strategies for customer success.
Hey everyone, this is Chris, co-founder of Nuff Said. In our latest Voice of Customer series interview, we spoke with Nick Werner at Mineral about channels for collecting customer feedback. And what he said was that first, while NPS is the cornerstone of a VOC program, it has to be supplemented with usage data, support tickets, and transactional scores like customer effort or customer satisfaction. Two, it's important to map out the whole customer journey and to take the pulse of customers along that journey. And finally, he introduced the concept of inner and outer loop feedback, which is essentially one-on-one personalized feedback versus thematic feedback. And we covered many other topics as well, so let's dive in.
So my name is Nick Werner. I am the director of CX at a company called Mineral. Mineral hosts a HR SaaS-based platform that is really made to make HR and compliance easy for small to medium-sized businesses who most of the time don't have an HR person. So think about local businesses in your community that may just have a handful of employees. There's still regulations and compliance laws and things they need to keep up with. And a lot of them turn to Mineral for that information. And so we service over 500,000 SMBs here in the United States looking to just, again, make compliance and HR that much simpler. For me, I've been at a lot of different tech companies, always in this kind of post-sale customer success, customer experience, voice of customer type of role. And so I've really become obsessed with the customer experience, things that make customers tick, what goes well, how do you collect feedback, what do you do with it, moving from a lot of large companies and now at a place a little bit smaller, but committed to the customer experience themselves. So yeah, really excited to be here.
Well, let's go ahead and jump into that a little bit deeper. You know, VOC is kind of a nebulous term. Lots of different definitions out there, definitions of what is VOC, what's not VOC. So in your own words, what is VOC and what does it mean to Mineral?
Yeah, voice of customer to me is really this discipline of how you're listening, whether the customer is speaking or not. And I think that's kind of the critical piece of it. It's easy to launch a survey, collect some feedback, and share it internally. But there's a set of actions that has to follow where you're actually doing something with that feedback. Also, we are inundated with surveys as a society and as people, you know, working with a lot of different companies. We get surveys all the time. So you can't completely rely on that as a means to hear the customer. So you have to look at usage data and things within your own product that tell you how customers are behaving. And if you can really kind of get that balance where you're hearing the customer and the things that they're saying, you're analyzing their behavior and understanding how they're consuming their product, and then taking action on the things that may be steering customers in the wrong direction, that's really a successful VOC program. But I agree. I think as a component of CX, voice of customer sometimes just gets translated as, you know, well, it's our surveys. And I think it's a whole lot more than that.
Okay, so you shared a lot there. So let's go deeper into a number of these topics that you brought up, starting with channels for collecting VOC. So you said, obviously, sending out surveys isn't enough, but let's just start with, when you say sending out surveys, I'm putting air quotes for people who can't see, what does it mean to send out a survey? Are we just talking about NPS, or are you thinking something broader than that?
So I'm a big fan of NPS. I think it is kind of a cornerstone of a CX or VOC program, gauging relationships and loyalty, depending on the company. I think those are things that you should have. But there's also this whole measure of transactional experiences that somebody has. And I typically use the airline example, right? So if you're flying somewhere, when you land and you meet up with whoever it is you're going to see, typically they ask you, how was your flight? Now, you're going to recall everything from the time you probably woke up that morning, parked your car, exited the car, got into the airport, bought a candy bar, went through security, all those kinds of things. They're not actually just referring to the, you know, the couple hours that you were in the air, and neither will you. And so that entire experience is really what we're looking to measure. NPS is the how was your flight? But all of those kind of micro experiences you had in between, those are good points to measure experience. Now, like I said, can't have a survey at every turn. That's gonna get annoying for customers. But I think there's critical points that actually matter and move the needle for customers that open up the door to say, hey, let's collect some feedback. Let's see how we're doing in this particular space.
Hmm. And so it sounds like you're talking about the concept of a maybe like a listening post or a pulse check of the customer at interesting moments. Is that reasonable to say that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So especially where I come from, one of the things that we implemented was around customer effort score. And so your typical support transaction, right? That's an opportunity to ask about satisfaction for a customer or what I think is a better measure of customer effort to really see, did we make this an easy process for you? And we understood that that interaction with support, that's a needle mover. That's a really important interaction that a customer has with us. So we need to be able to measure that. Again, that's prior to where I'm at now, but again, something that we're looking to do because those interactions mean something. If we can reduce that effort for customers, that's going to keep them coming back.
I think the argument that I would make is, the NPS question is a very selfish question. It asks the customer, how likely are you to recommend me? But I know that the customer doesn't care about me at all or my company. The customer only cares about themselves and their needs. So the NPS question is a good question to determine whether or not a customer is likely to recommend you to someone else, but it doesn't tell you much about whether or not the customer is receiving a lot of value from your product. It doesn't tell you much about how the customer feels about your pricing, if your product has all the features that they need, if the product is a must-have or a nice-to-have. So if I think about the whole customer journey and all the feelings that someone might have along the way, NPS just doesn't, like, it's not the one score that can capture the overall customer experience.
I think it's a fair point. I'll give you that. It is uber popular. It's easy to implement. I think that's why you see it in a lot of places. What I really like about NPS is the state of mind that it puts the respondent in. And so I'll give you an example. My sister-in-law moved from Chicago to Raleigh a few years back. And one of the things that she wanted to do was paint the apartment that she was moving into. And so she asked a bunch of people for recommendations on painters. And my mother-in-law said, oh, you got to use this guy. He's great. You know, he'll do a fantastic job. And things just did not go well, right? There were questions about the price. He didn't show up on time. It was just a poor experience for her. And there were two really interesting things that happened. One is my sister-in-law didn't complain to the Better Business Bureau or, you know, file some other complaint. She called her mother and said, hey, you gave me this really crappy recommendation. The other funny thing that happened was my mother-in-law then stood up for the painter and said, well, it must have been something you did because he was great and you know, we would hire him again in a heartbeat. And so that would you recommend kind of mentality is like, am I willing to stick my neck out on the line for this company or this business, this contract, whoever it might be? So I think it's the feeling that it elicits is really what's attractive to me. Less so than the score. And ultimately that likely to recommend question should be part of some type of relationship study or relationship survey. I think by itself, it may not give you all the data that's as actionable, but as part of a survey that really gauges a lot of what the customer is going through, I think it can be really effective.
Nice. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that perspective. All right. So you were talking about, you know, there are micro experiences that happen along the journey. Certain experiences are bigger ones, more impactful experiences, where you want to have some kind of a pulse of the customer's experience. What other methods would you recommend besides sending a survey for collecting that data?
Yeah. So, and we call them moments that matter in other places, right? You may see that term, but yeah, the survey piece, obviously, you know, you can only rely on it so far. That's where some of the usage data comes in. So let's say, you know, you're a SaaS-based business and you have a particular feature that really matters for customers, right? If you see that people are using that, okay, this is what's going to keep customers coming back. It's an opportunity for you to go and put in either an embedded experience that asks a question. Some people may argue, well, that's a form of a survey, right? It doesn't have to be via email. You can put something in app that asks about that experience, or you can kind of start to develop some type of campaign for people who aren't consuming that feature. So if you notice, hey, we've got, you know, 15, 20% of our customer base that hasn't consumed this feature, let's build some campaign out there that lets them know about it. And so you're kind of being proactive and, you know, taking the data that you have available to you and using it to create a better experience without the customer actually even speaking it up.
Awesome. Great. So in this world where you're collecting product usage data, you've got some surveys, you've got, you know, you're looking at your customer support tickets. How do you know that the program is working or not?
So this is where the rest of the company has to step up, right? I think customer experience, voice of the customer, they are really the ones responsible to drive those insights and shine a light in places that maybe others have been afraid to or hesitant to. If you don't have that commitment from your senior leadership team and other stakeholders around the business, then your entire existence as a team comes into question because you're just delivering news and no one's doing anything about it. And so what I've really liked about where I'm at now, especially, is one, they wouldn't have hired this position if they didn't care. And two, within a couple of days of me starting, there was a scheduled meeting to review NPS results with our executive leadership team. That's a really big deal. And a lot of CX folks don't have that seat at the table. And so I think finding that place that really values CX and knows that, hey, there's a lot of important data here. Tell me what I need to know from a senior leadership perspective, and then tell me what we're doing about it within the business. Those things are critical. So it goes beyond just all the data that you're collecting and all these really great insights that you're driving. You've got to be able to drive some action and communicate that internally.
And I agree with you. The rest of the organization needs to step up and take action, but how do you know that it's actually happening? So how do you hold the team accountable, or how do you, you know, even for you, how are you going to go back to your team in 6 months and say, hey, VOC program, it's working. Here's the evidence of our success.
Yeah, it's a combination of things. So one is look at the existing data you have. So are your scores rising? Are you seeing less mentions of things that have been corrected? So again, let's say you have feedback on a certain product that really just isn't of, you know, the type of quality that your company is known for, or, you know, customers really aren't seeing the value. Are people still saying that 6 months from now that it proves that you haven't done anything with it, right? Or are those mentions starting to come down? Are they starting to speak more positively about it? So I think you have this kind of library of data that you're using to communicate the insights. Go back and see, are those scores moving in the right direction, right? You may be able to set goals against it depending on, you know, the business. I think the other thing that is really valuable to know that, you know, you've arrived is people start coming to you. And rather than you knocking on doors, asking for a seat at the table, asking for, you know, time of different teams and leaders, they're coming to you and asking you questions. They need your data to make a decision. And so one of the things that I think I've always kind of looked out for is, as we're making decisions, as we're driving different updates and products, is there a mention of why it's beneficial to the customer? And if those things are missing, it's a very simple question to ask to, again, change people's mindset on some of that. So I think it's twofold. There's this, you know, data piece, right? Are things moving in the right direction? And then there's this anecdotal piece that kind of starts to get into culture and things like that.
I'm just thinking, if a VP of customer success or a head of customer experience at another company is listening to this, they don't work for a CEO that values VOC in the way that yours does. Is there anything that they can do in terms of evidence, metrics, et cetera, to make the case for the value delivered by this team?
I think before that, they may want to find a new job. That may be the better route for them and their career. But I think if you're in that struggle, if you're really having a hard time, I think it's a very pointed conversation with leadership to figure out what is valuable to them, right? One of the things that I was taught early on is you've got to be able to take the CX metrics that you're collecting, be it NPS, CSAT, whatever. You've got to be able to tie that back to the metrics that matter to somebody else. And so that magical, like, hey, 1 point of NPS equals this much revenue, right? That can be a very telling thing. But if you can really prove it out with hardened facts, hardened data, really strong analysis, and show why CX is impacting the bottom line, or, you know, retention or growth, whatever those really important metrics are, that's the key. And again, I bring those up because in a lot of places, right, sales is heads down. They are pushing forward. They are making the number. sometimes it's hard to get their attention with CX because they don't necessarily see the value. I think the really respected sales leaders out there can understand it, and they do start to understand it. They ask you, hey, how is this relating to, you know, some of the metrics that I really care about in my day to day? Again, you've got to get out of their way. You've got to let them, you know, do what they do. That's paramount, but CX can be such a value for those parts of the organization as well.
So let's move on to this, the concept of ownership, because a lot of companies have no idea where to put VOC because it doesn't cleanly fit into any existing executive team. Some companies have done what Mineral has done, which is you bring in someone who's, you know, has a seat at the executive table, but doesn't report to any of the existing team. What's your recommendation of the best way to maximize the chances that VOC gets adopted by the whole org?
So the one thing I'll call out there is I do report into a C-suite member, but what they do is they, again, they see the value in what we're doing from a CX perspective. And so, you know, every so often I will come in and present to that group. So there's still visibility at that point, but just from an organizational standpoint, it makes it easy.
And who do you report up into?
She runs both product and marketing. So our chief product and marketing officer. I really like the way Mineral has done it because we get a lot of product feedback, and Mineral is really this kind of cohesion of two previous platforms, two previous brands that are now coming together as one. So we're going through this massive migration of customers moving from their previous platform to a new one. That's a gigantic CX undertaking, which I think really prompted them to look at this a little bit more heavily. And it was absolutely the right move. So back to your question though, about where VOC should live, I'll say that it doesn't matter. And the reason I answer it that way is it's so dependent on the type of business that you run, the kind of feedback that is typically collected. It is way more important that you have that commitment and people are actually doing something about it. And so I've seen it work where, similar to Mineral, right? We are sister teams with our product management team. We're able to share product feedback directly with them, very seamless with a peer, right? I've seen VOC sit within more of a marketing focus, right? Well, now you get to partner with marketing and create campaigns to go out to customers and create that experience. I've got the best of both worlds because, again, that leadership owns both here at Mineral, but there's other places where it sits next to maybe a customer success team or, you know, customer support or, you know, within engineering at previous places as well. But again, I think where I sit on it is it doesn't matter, right? As long as you have the people taking action and you have a leader that believes in what you're doing, it can literally be placed anywhere.
And so just to be clear, in your view, you know, I'm just thinking 5 years from now, you're going to be a chief experience officer, right? That's a growing role in the industry. So you're going to be a chief experience officer. You're going to have a seat at the executive table. You're going to be peers to all the other C-level executives and you'll report to the CEO. In that world, it's not going to make any difference on getting the team to adopt insights. It's this same outcome as you will have now where you report into the chief product and marketing officer.
Exactly. I think it is really about, again, that commitment and the stakeholders believing in CX as a discipline and actually doing something about it. And so, yeah, if no one's listening to you, then you can be buried deep in the organization and you're going to run into the same problems. If everybody's listening to you, they can give you whatever title or you know, position in the organization you want. You just got to add that value.
Yeah. Great. Awesome. Yeah. And let's, I think, maybe jump into the last step, which I think everyone want to hear more about, which is the action that people should take on the data. And I think specifically, you know, you've collected all this great VOC data. How does it get shared? On what cadence? Who needs to see the data? How are decisions made with the data? Can you just walk us through your perspective on a healthy use of the data?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think establishing that cadence is critical because without it, it's almost like a surprise every time you come back out and you're trying to meet with somebody. You know, you've got something fresh and new to share and you're excited, but you know, now you're popping up out of nowhere. And so if you establish that cadence, and honestly, I mean, it can be once a quarter with certain stakeholder groups, right? So let's take a, you know, an NPS survey like we touched on. There is an inner loop and an outer loop, right? You've got to lock down your closed loop process really early. You've got to match the type of experience that customers are having. And that has to become part of your analysis as well. So the things you're learning from those additional conversations, that has to be incorporated, or it just becomes this checkbox activity for your customer-facing groups. So your larger customers who have, you know, a team behind them, yeah, give those customers a call. They're experiencing you through those teams. They should not have a digital experience. But for customers that maybe are a bit smaller, your long tail that are primarily digital, yeah, a digital closed loop experience is fine. The reason I bring that up is, again, as part of your overall analysis and the things you're delivering to stakeholders, you can then talk about, here's what we collected in the survey. Here's what's supplementing that, or listening post, right? Here's what's supplementing that and the conversations that we're hearing about. Let's validate the things that you're doing, right? In my opinion, if you've got teams that are working on a bunch of stuff and there's no evidence of customer experience improvement, it's probably a bit of a waste of time. But if I can go to a stakeholder and say, look, you're doing activities 1, 2, and 3, and that addresses the feedback that I'm seeing here, all right, now we've got a winner. And now we have to go tell the world that we're doing those things to address it. And I think that's a piece that gets missed a lot too, is after the fact, it may be, you know, a couple months later, the sooner the better. But if you can get back in front of customers to say, hey, remember you told us this, we're doing all this stuff about it. And we wanted to remind you that here's the action that we're taking. So yeah, I think once a quarter, as part of that kind of outer closed loop to stakeholders, what big rocks are you moving? What themes are you addressing? That's probably an appropriate cadence for those folks.
Let's just really quick define, this is the first time you've used the terms inner loop, outer loop, and closed loop. Let's just define those for the audience.
Yeah, so closed loop really gets broken down into kind of two avenues. First is your inner loop. That is the one-to-one call. That is the one-to-one relationship, right? Chris left us feedback. We need to call Chris and tell him, you know, here's what we're doing about it. That may just be an acknowledgement, right? I might not be able to fix it at that point in time, but Chris needs to know that somebody actually read his survey response or his feedback, or we noticed something, right? That's the experience that he wants. The outer loop, the other side of it, is the thematic stuff, the holistic feedback that we're getting, right? It's the 30% of customers said this, we need to go fix that. With Mineral in particular, as I mentioned, right, we're going through this platform migration with customers. We get a lot of feedback on migration, naturally. And so it's important for us to let customers know, here's all that we're doing about it to improve your experience about migration. But we may have one particular customer who has a comment about our advisory services or our technical support, right? We want to address that feedback individually with that person as best we can. So there's really kind of two streams. And if you can prove customers, hey, we're doing what we need to impact your experience in particular, and here's the things that we're doing at a more high level overall as a company, it just kind of proves to people that you're really focused in on the experience and that you're customer focused overall.
Yeah, nice. And what about for companies that are, you know, you've seen now a small company, you've come from very large companies. Do you have any advice for people who are thinking about scaling up VOC, understanding that, you know, scale includes new geographies, new languages, new product lines, new teams or business units? Any kind of advice for or planning for people who are building out their VOC programs?
Yeah, it's kind of the old adage, right? How do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time, right? And so I think it's starting small. It's not taking on more than you can, right? And so, survey tools is a great example of this, right? You're aware of the Qualtrics and the Medallias and some of those that do a whole lot of stuff, but again, if you're starting up, you may not have the budget to do those things. You may not have the resources to administer those tools, right? Now, yeah, work to get there if that's the direction that you want to go, but start with something simple. Start small. Start to collect something from customers. Understand what pain points they're going through and prove that, hey, this is all that we can do with our current resources. Imagine if. And if you can really paint that picture for executives, the headcount starts to follow, the budget starts to follow. So yeah, I think it's really allowing them to kind of be creative with you, them being your leadership team, again, paint that picture, get them bought into the vision that you're trying to create, start small. That's the advice I would give.
Great. And if you could go back in time to give yourself advice about building out VOC, do you have any feedback or advice besides starting small?
I think the advice that I would give is you've got to go out and make some friends, and in two ways, right? One is internally at your company. You've got to make introductions. You got to tell people why you exist. You've got to set up those regular meetings and that cadence that we talked a little bit about as well. But then friends in the industry as well. There is so much knowledge that we all should be sharing and things we should be listening to and people we should be following that have just great, great insights of how they grew programs and the successes they've had. So be part of the community and speak up. There's so much we can learn from each other. So I think I would spend a whole lot more time connecting with more folks internally and externally as a up and comer within CX.
And for anyone that's listening who wants to do that last step, which is to become more active in the community, are there any groups, newsletters, people to follow, any recommendations on where to get started there?
Yeah, I think if you've heard of the Nuff Said podcast, that's a good place to start.
Good answer.
But I think there's a lot of folks like Jeannie Bliss, you know, mm-hmm. Fred Reichel, those folks are really strong voices within the community, right? CCXP has a lot of really strong talent that comments on things. LinkedIn has a ton of information, a ton of content out there. Just start commenting on different conversations, right? See what people say back. You know, I've had mixed success with throwing out my own questions, right? Some people jump in on it, others maybe a little bit more abstract, but you have to take those chances and start somewhere. And so yeah, I think spend a little bit more time on LinkedIn, look for different groups, podcasts, books to read. Yeah, a lot of CX content out there.
Amazing. Last question. If you look ahead 5 years from now, what do you think is going to change the most with respect to VOC?
5 years from now, I think what you're going to find with voice of customer, and similar to any kind of CX strategy, right? You're trying to make it more easy, more timely, more personalized. I think VOC becomes that as well, right? There are still a lot of examples out there now that make it a challenge to provide feedback, right? It needs to be as clean and as easy as possible, right? If you're creating a bad experience for me to tell you about an experience I had, whether be it good or bad, you've just changed the entire conversation and probably for the worse. And so I think it just needs to become seamless where, you know, we're again, not as heavily reliant on surveys. The ability to give feedback is second nature to folks. Yeah. I don't know how exactly we get there, but that's my prediction.
Awesome. And for anyone who's listening in, loves what you've had to share, what's the best way for them to get in contact with you or follow you?
Yeah, I think the easiest way to find me is on LinkedIn. I'd love to connect with people there, exchange messages, or just drop me an email, nick.warner@trustmineral.com. I'm happy to chat with people, make connections, hop on a call, talk about the challenges you're seeing or the successes that you've had. I'm always up for those kinds of conversations.
Amazing, Nick. Thank you for joining us today. I think really, thank you for taking the time to help the community level up its skill and to organize your thoughts in a way that's been so easy to digest and understand. So really, really thankful to you and the effort that you're putting into helping us all get better at VOC.
I appreciate the opportunity. This was fantastic. Thank you.
And that's it for this week's episode of Nuff Said. To learn more about Nuff Said's proactive intelligence platform, you can visit nuffsaid.com. That's nuffsaid.com. And you can follow Nuff Said on LinkedIn. To tune in to more real customer success strategies, head over to your podcast platform of choice and make sure you're subscribed. Thanks for tuning in. Nuff Said.